Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When Nathan Benn was a very young photographer in the early 1970s, he got an assignment from National Geographic to go shoot pictures of Vermont. When you look at those photographs now, they're so clearly from a different era. Many are unrecognizable as Vermont, even. They look like photos that could have been taken in the Depression. But they reveal a lot about a region that was right on the cusp of change, of modernization. Ben's photographs of Vermont and elsewhere are getting a special showing in a new exhibit at the Shelburne Museum. I got a preview from Shelburne Museum director Tom Denenberg and Nathan Benn himself.
Well, my picture of Vermont was formed based on an iconography that had been, you know, developing over 100 years of Yankee characters, flinty, thrifty, industrious Yankee characters, and, you know, fall foliage and clabbered churches with steeples.
Yeah. And Tom, what made you want to bring Nathan's photographs here? And this is, as I understand it, the first exhibit of these photographs that is going to go other places, but you've expanded it to include more Vermont photographs and unpublished photographs.
I really think of myself as a student of region and New England and the construction of the image of New England, as Nathan mentioned, in images and objects and texts and landscapes. There was this real cottage industry from the mid-19th century until about World War II that gave us the image of New England. And what Nathan's project, when he came to Vermont in 1973, what it captures so brilliantly is sort of the end of that era, and then also the beginning of the new, where Vermont in the 70s became a place people moved to, came to. And the folks who came in the 70s, we should remember, is a very broad spectrum. These are both, you know, back-to-the-land folks who want to live off the grid and live in a commune, and it's IBM engineers. So it's, you know, Vermont was a haven in the 1970s. People left the city, came here for a variety of motivations. And what I so love about this project is it captures a specific moment in time in Vermont before suburban sprawl, urban sprawl, before Pizza Hut and chain stores came here. This sort of shows us the last of that moment of the invented New England that is Vermont and the beginning of the Vermont of today.
So given that context, Nathan, do you want to show us a photograph and take us inside
Yes.
here?
Yes. I'd like to start with a photograph taken on, I think it was roll one or roll two, the first day of shooting. And it's a photograph taken in Burke Hollow, village of Burke, and it's the Burke town meeting on the first Tuesday of March. I mean, I was there probably for about 3 hours, and I photographed people arriving. I photographed from the outside as people walked to the door. I photographed people getting settled down and people chatting. And then the marshal of the meeting picked up the flag, and the board members stood up and saluted. And I had an aha moment. I said, this has potential. This looks like it should be a photograph. So I hustled up, stood up on a bench, saw this moment, was able to squeeze off about 3 frames. I was so excited that 2 of them are out of focus or blurred. And so I was fortunate to be able to get one moment, and there's only one moment of this scene that really is almost mythical in its sense of reverence, patriotism, solemnity, ceremony, to the extent that when Stern magazine, the dominant German weekly news publication, published their early July issue in 1976 about America's bicentennial, the lead photograph was this photograph, because to their audience of Europeans, these fine, earnest, hardworking Yankees holding the American flag in this village town meeting were really the archetype of Yankeeness, a caricature almost.
So, yes, and I mean this as a compliment, but it is sort of Norman Rockwellian in
yes,
a way.
Yes, and I was aware of Norman Rockwell. I wasn't specifically trying to copy Norman Rockwell, But my image of Vermont, my recognition of the opportunity here, was informed certainly by Rockwell and Wallace Nutting and other arbiters of our taste of what Yankees are supposed to look like. Well, these people really did look that way. And, you know, Central Casting could not have done it better. So I have great admiration and appreciation. I'm very fond of these people. And I'm so glad. I feel privileged that I was able to actually witness a scene like this. And I feel lucky that I was able to record it in a 15th of a second.
So juxtapose that with another image. There's one in particular that I've been very curious about, because I'm not sure what it is, and so it doesn't strike me as, you know, that sort of Vermont. It's a shed, but then there's machinery inside.
This is the roundhouse of the Central Vermont Railroad engine shop.
Aha.
And I don't know if this building survives anymore. I'd kind of be surprised if it did. But it was probably built, I would guess, in the, well, late 19th century, if not the early 20th century. And it had a operating turntable. The locomotives would go in, get serviced, and come out. And I am an old, ever since I was can remember, smallest kid, I was very fond of railroads. And I still am. I continue to be a real railroad nut. So if there's a railroad somewhere, I'd made sure to work it into the story. and I certainly did that. I don't know how many days I spent there, but I had a great time. And in fact, this picture looks in and you see these two monumental diesel locomotives that are being serviced. And this picture is really not about reinforcing an archetype. But this picture is really about design. And I'm glad that it's not instantly identifiable. I think that somebody looking at it would be drawn to it because of design and color and pattern, but I think it could be decoded fairly quickly as being, locomotives and railroad wheels.
You know, certainly locomotives and trains, I grew up around them, but not in the same way that people of earlier generations might have. And so that actually isn't recognizable to me. I'm really glad you told me about it because,
really?
Yeah, I didn't, I really, I mean, you can see that these, they look like sort of giant spools of thread almost in the foreground. But, if you had made me guess, I probably could have gotten there. But no, it certainly wasn't something that I would have picked up on naturally.
Well, this will certainly separate the generations as they view the show. And there are four pictures here taken in this location. It evidences my unreasonable infatuation with railroads. But this picture next to it is a close-up of a mechanic's hands covered with grease. And he's working in the engine shop. And those hands have repaired, no doubt, many, many locomotives, probably going back to steam locomotives. And I think the hands are, they have a roundness to them, and a sensitivity to them, and a fleshiness to them, and that is emphasized by the layer of grease and grime on the fingers.
Tom, let me interrupt because it's really a pleasure to be able to talk to Nathan about the work that's here that you're displaying, but that's not actually a common occurrence at Children's Museum that we actually get to talk to the artist. A lot of your artists are dead or were folk artists, or you don't know necessarily where some of the artifacts came from. What's it like for you to be working with the actual artist as you hang an exhibition like this?
Well, it exponentially sort of opens up our understanding just because everyone does approach these photographs with different, perspectives and points of view. And I was thinking what I so love about projects like this is where it presents an opportunity for intergenerational conversation. And I've seen this before, and I know we're going to see it here. We are going to see parents and grandparents explaining Kodachrome to people who have never, thought about film. And I always think it is so meaningful when we're right on the cusp of that change. And Nathan, who was very important to our shift to digital technology, I think provides the opportunity for that conversation in this exhibition, Kodachrome Memory.
Kodachrome, the gilt is now.
That was Shelburne Museum director Tom Denenberg and photographer Nathan Benn discussing a few of the photographs in a new exhibit at the museum. Kodachrome Memory, American Pictures 1972 to 1990 opens this weekend and runs through May.